Hey class, I'll be recording this audio to go with the link that I sent along with this. So what the general goal here is, I'm going to go over some extra material that'll help you guys with the next OCaml lab, and also things that I may expect you to know for future tests. So the general idea is that at some point, we need to get what I'm saying to be synced up with the ASCII Cinema recording that I sent you guys. So I'll just do a basic countdown. So I'll say 3, 2, 1, and then go. And then on go, you can hit the play button, and hopefully it'll be pretty in sync. So let's begin. 3, 2, 1, go. All right, so what I'm at is I'm at a terminal on my computer. I have OCaml installed, so I'm just going to enter the OCaml environment. Okay, so I can just type in OCaml and I'll be here. Now, the important thing that we want to cover is that there's this concept known as tail recursion. And essentially, when we create recursive functions, there's a good chance that we're going to end up needing to essentially put the state of whatever function we're on onto the stack. And we won't be able to necessarily complete execution until we propagate values back and return. So essentially, our stack is going to grow. So as an example, we had to write a sum list, okay? And sum list was pretty easily defined. It took one parameter. It was also recursive, so we better include that. And we noticed that we had to match L with empty, which would return 0, or splitting off the head and tail, where you'd return head plus sum list of tail. Now, something to pay careful attention to is when we see here, we end up having the result get propagated up. So we have H plus sum list T. So if we were to kind of trace through this in a way, suppose we had a list that consisted of 1, 2, and 3. Now, if we were to call this, I'm just going to press enter as an indication of let this continue. Okay. Now, if we were to call sum list on L, we would end up doing a pattern match on the HT. So we would get something like this. We would get this as a value of H, and then T would have a value of 2 and 3. So essentially, what ends up happening is, I mean, suppose I just were to press enter, we know this is going to be the same thing. This will expand out to 1 plus the call of sum list of 2, 3. Okay, now, so just to let you know, this expression of 1 plus sum list of 2, 3 ends up being the evaluated expression that will yield our value, our return value. So we have to keep track of sum list 1, 2, 3. And then once that's on the stack, we're then going to call sum list of 2, 3. As you can imagine, if we were to do that, we would end up with 1 plus 2 plus sum list of a call of 3. Okay. Finally, we'd end up with a call of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus sum list of empty. Okay. and we still get the same result. But it came at a cost. We had a cost of the fact that for every single element in our list, we're going to have to make one additional recursive call. Okay. So you can imagine if we have 10,000 elements in a list, maybe this isn't the best way. Now, something you'll notice is we only have one parameter here, and it ends up corresponding to our list. Now, with tail recursion, the general idea is that we can define the outer function to be the same. In fact, I'm going to use the same name. I'll use a different name. SumList2. It's still going to accept a parameter L. However, this one does not have to be marked as recursive. What we're able to do instead is tell OCaml, hey, what I really want to do is create this helper function. I'm going to call this SumHelper. And it's going to accept some list, I'll call it LST, and then some accumulated value. Okay, now what's important here is the accumulated value. You may remember in class on Monday when I highlighted the pure functional approach of writing expressions, of evaluating numbers, of looking at loops, and how we just keep track of the state. Well, this accumulator is going to keep track of our state. In fact, we could even call this state. And what this state does is it stores all the relevant information that we need to. So that way, with one simple call, we will advance the state. Okay, so here we have some helper expecting a list and a state. I have one critical failure here in that I did not make it recursive. So again, some helper will accept a list and a state. And this is going to look very, very similar to what we wrote up above. So we can match LST. And if we have empty, we will just return our state. Otherwise, we can split on head and tail. And we just need to ensure that we make a call to some helper. So, how does our list change? Well, now we're just going to use the rest of our list, which we used cons for to split head from tail, or first from rest. So tail will have one of the elements peeled off. And now what we can do is the state, we need to realize what the state of our recursive function is. And for us, it's as easy as determining the behavior that we had in our original version. So we were adding the head to whatever the recursive call was. So instead of saying, oh, some helper, blah, 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 plus H, what we'd like to do instead is realize that the state itself is the sum. And we will advance the state by updating the next recursive call state to be the old state plus the value of the head of the list. So this one single line is very, very similar to our definition of sum list at the top. The only real difference here is that we now end up providing an additional argument that is representative of the state. Okay? Now, the way this works is with a let expression, If we want to be able to use some helper, we need to use in. Okay. So if we define some helper of list state and we are within some list 2 of L, how do we initially call some helper? Well, we first accept our list as our parameter, which we know is L. And we then have to realize what the initial state is. If we have an empty list, let's look at our base case. We return the state. So that means that the initial state must be 0. Okay, so this is some list 2. Hopefully this works without error. All right, it looks like we now have this function, and it should behave exactly the same as some list. So what I can do is actually write a check method. So we can I can let check equal, where I accept some list, equal to some list of list is equal to some list 2 of list. So let's check. Check empty. Okay, that's the same. Check 1, 2, 3. That's the same. Now, if I could create some massive list, we'll see that some list ended up creating overflow, while some list 2, because we end up realizing that we can use additional parameters to represent the state, we will not ever encounter this overflow. In fact, what we've essentially done is written a loop in mathematical form. Okay, so that is the first part. So if you got through this, great job. Give this a try. Try converting maybe reverse list to be tail recursive. Okay, so I'm going to stop this one, and then I'll make another short video recording as well.